Blog Talk Radio. Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lucy Weston. Thank you for joining me for Chick Flick Chat, a spin-off feature of the popular life and style website, Here We Are with Lucy.com. It's Tuesday, March 13th, 2012, and this is the Chick Flick Chat, recurring coverage of ABC TV's The Bachelor. This week's show features season 16's The Final Rose. Yes, it's over. Well, sort of. Today, I am only covering what went on in episode 11, The Final Rose. Next week's Chick Flick Chat will focus on what we learned during the After the Final Rose episode and throughout season 16 of this reality series. I decided to split it up into two shows because there's so much I want to cover as far as the overall impressions and details and things we talked about throughout the season in respect to what went on last night on the After the Final Rose hour. Okay, if you're new to Chick Flick Chat, this is a review and discussion show where we chat about women's roles and the roles for women in film and television. And what we do is we debate, we dissect, we dish the details of what we see on screen and what it all means in real life. So thank you for tuning in, and I'm glad you're here. And if you like Chick Flick Chat or any of our shows, please remember to share the show, like it, or on Facebook, tweet it. You know what to do. And people are finding us. And this Chick Flick Chat series has actually grown in popularity a lot, and I'm really pleased. And I've grown as a host, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's just been great, and I'm really happy about that because I didn't know what to expect when I first started this. And as you know, I typically have a co-host, my colleague Susan Regazzo, but she's busy on another project, and really the time component of doing this show every week just wasn't working for her and her schedule, so I had to go it alone. And I really feel great that I know all of you tuned in, whether it was live or to hear me on the download and to, you know, join the Chick Flick Chat discussion, which is just great. And thank you for all your emails. And I really do appreciate each and every listener. Okay, if you want to call in and you are listening live, you can call in at 909-265-9175. Please remember to press number 1 if you'd like to talk, and I will pick you up. I don't like to surprise live call-ins unless they press the number 1 to alert me that they want to speak. So, and also, just so we don't have we don't kind of cross over, if you are going to call in and want to speak, please let's just keep all your anything you want to say to what happened on the Final Rose episode, which lasted 2 hours last night and could have probably been condensed into 40 minutes, but okay, we're going to get to that. All right, and you know, speaking of the Final Rose episode, it is the one show, obviously, that we all wait for throughout the season. It's the conclusion of all the efforts that the producers put a lot of effort, you know, into. And, you know, they try really hard and plan a lot of things, and we get to see these people put into these situations and then what happens. And that's part of the reason why we cover a show like this on Chick Flick Chat, is because we want to see what happens. And anyway, each week during the season, a theme has emerged that kind of helped sum up the overall experience of the events. And when I say it was a theme, it really came about after, I think, maybe the second episode of Chick Flick Chat featuring The Bachelor. And before we get to this week's word, I just need to remind you, that we aren't here to bash or slander any particular person or persons involved with or appearing on these shows. If you do call in, please keep your comments polite and on topic, based on your overall observations of the issues and events, and I will do the same. So, speaking of the theme, on last week's show, The Women Tell All, we discussed that it was really, there was a lot of backstroking going on. And if you watched that episode or you listened to the Chick Flick Chat, you know that the theme was save yourself. It seemed like that's what everybody was doing. And this week, I thought about this all day today. You know, I try to reflect on what we've seen and I thought, was there really a theme? And I really think that the theme was kind of that there was no theme, but I think to sum it up, I have to say, surprise, there are no surprises. Either in the episode or, you know, throughout the season, it turned out to be exactly what everybody heard about. Okay, so how do we get to this? I think the best way to start is just to start like we always do at the beginning of the show. Even though we all want to get to the very end, just bear with me. I want to get there too, and that's one of the reasons I'm keeping the final rose separate, this discussion, from next week's after the final rose. So, all right. It opens up on the balcony. You know, we all know if you follow The Bachelor, any of the seasons, the balconies with The Bachelor seem to be the place of emotional hand-wringing and discussions and decisions, the balcony. So it is really quite lovely. They're still in Switzerland, and he's looking out over the Matterhorn, and you know, he's telling the in the camera confessional, we're hearing him say that he's fallen in love. And by he, I mean Ben, of course, you all know this. And his mother, Barbara, and his sister, Julia, show up, and they're going to meet the final two girls, as is traditional in the Bachelor series. And so Lindsay is the first girl up, and she is, you know, Ben tells his mother and his sister that he's concerned about time with Lindsay, that maybe he hasn't had enough time, or is there, you know, maybe she hasn't opened up. And so the sister, who is very skeptical of the overall process and was skeptical early on, we saw her in an earlier episode, I believe it was the one when they were in San Francisco, and, you know, but he... You know, she says she's heard certain things. Where she heard these from, I guess it's from him. But she warns Ben about the girl who doesn't get along with other girls, and that she says that's a red flag. Well, it could be a red flag. You know, she's not there. She hasn't been seeing the series at that point and only hearing it through him. And, you know, sometimes there's other issues going on. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that, you know, she's giving him this warning. So it's further playing into this whole thing about Courtney not getting along and this big issue that she's so, you know. So, okay. He says, my sister doesn't generally approve of who I date. Well, that's kind of a weird statement. I just thought that was weird. Like, all right, she doesn't generally approve. Like, what does that mean? Maybe that is another, maybe that's the red flag that he doesn't pick the right people. And that's obviously why he's on The Bachelor. We've talked about this before, that, you know, he's admitted himself throughout many of the episodes that he's made bad picks in the past. So there might be some correlation here. The lunch with Lindsay happens. She's very nervous, as anybody would be. And she tells his mother that Ben's so caring and compassionate. And the mom asked her about what's the ingredient that makes up the, you know, the love or the relationship. And I don't think she ever really gave the ingredient word, but she did say that she's fallen in love with him and, you know, all positive things and nothing that, it was no surprise. It was everything we've heard from her before. His sister Julia tells Lindsay that, you know, Ben wants to dig in deeper with her and be comfortable with her. And so it does tip her off to the fact that she's got to be a little bit more open. Whether or not that was a fair thing to do, I don't know, because obviously then when you tell somebody that, it changes the dynamic of how they behave. Or maybe it does, you know, but in this case it did. So Lindsay says, that, you know, she came into this because it was fun and there would be a story to tell, which I found very odd. Which, you know, it seemed like she, from the beginning, wanted to fall in love, and now we're hearing at the end, you know, it would be fun, there'd be a story to tell. Maybe I missed that early on. Was that her reasoning for coming on the show? If anybody's listening and does remember which episode that is, if she indeed did say that, please email me and let me know. You can always email me through the blog, at you know, here we are with Lucy.com, and Lucy's with an I. So I would be curious to see if we ever heard that from her before. I looked back in my notes and couldn't find anything like that. So that's something new. So maybe that was a surprise. All right, not a big surprise, but a surprise. Okay, so my theme's a little off. But so Julia asked Lindsay about Courtney. And, you know, Yeah, I guess you could say that's a surprise, but at the same time, everybody's been talking about Courtney, so it's no surprise. But what I thought was very unfair to put Lindsay in that position to have to talk about her direct competition for Ben, and she did handle it very well. And she says Courtney was very different than myself, and Courtney was very shut off. So she gave a very polite response, but it was awkward, and I just thought it was unfair. And it showed, like, that the sister was interested in finding out about Courtney when she had this other girl right in front of her and should have only been focusing on Lindsay. So there's some issue there. I think maybe the sister might have overstepped. So, but that is a good example, you know, how reality TV, you know, we see things that happen in human dynamic and in interpersonal relationships. You know, sometimes you want to stay on topic, I guess, is a good lesson, and not to go off and you know, bring in that other person when it's really not an appropriate moment. So Julia uses the red flag term again, and she tells Lindsay, "I want to protect my brother. I feel comfortable with you." Well, there's no surprise if you're telling her this. You're obviously comfortable, but I don't know. That was, yeah, okay, you want to protect your brother. Just so I know everyone's nervous, and there's always that caveat. But okay, Ben says, Ben's with the mother and the sister, and he's now telling, at this point, I guess Courtney must have, yes, Courtney's gone. He's now talking about Courtney to the mother and sister, and he says she's a model. Well, I have to say, they acted like he said she's a monster, because the sister was like, she's a model, really? And the mother's like, remember what I told you, beauty is only skin deep. I was like, well, what is that? I didn't understand the reaction of that. It was almost like the message that they're telling people or telling Ben, and we're seeing it through TV, so it's everybody watching, that like, be wary of good-looking people because, you know, they're out to get you, or you can't trust them. Like what? Not so good looking people are also perfect? I just didn't understand the correlation that they were trying to make and the fear that they had that she's a model. What does that mean? So, all right. Anyway, the Ben is telling us that, you know, the woman that he knows is the real Courtney, and you know, mom and Julia tell him that they really like Lindsay. No surprise, everybody's like Lindsay all along. And Ben, other than Courtney, obviously, but Ben says, you know, I need my mom and my sister not to prejudge Courtney. And when Courtney gets there, she says to the mother and sister, you know, some of the girls were a little judgy of me. Well, I guess the word she wanted is judgmental, and they were. And they were harsh to her, and she was harsh right back. So, you know, it was a tit for tat. And Courtney and Julia are out on the balcony, and Courtney says to her, she confesses that I could have been a little bit, tried a little harder to get along with the other girls. And she does also follow that up with, I'm in love with your brother. And, you know, Julia says, I want to trust that this is the real you. And, you know, so there's some back and forth, and mom and Courtney are talking, and Courtney does admit to the mother she's very nervous. And, of course, like we said with Lindsay, who wouldn't be? And, you know, so Ben, she says, Ben is funny and smart, and it's almost like a fairy tale. And we're hearing this word again and again, fairy tale, fairy tale, fairy tale. We've heard this throughout the season. You know, Julia tells Ben, when they have their private moment, you know, my first impression is I'm shocked. And we think we're going to get a big surprise, a big reveal. And, of course, it's a letdown. And she says, I'm blown away. You know, she's such an amazing girl. She's going to fit into the family. I give you my approval. So it's almost a surprise, but not really. So the mother also tells Ben that, you know, mother actually tells the camera that Ben has fallen in love with Courtney and he seems really happy. So she's telegraphing, you know, there's no surprise coming, I think, for the ending. By this point in the show last night, if you've been watching along, and even if you hadn't been watching this whole season, I think you could have picked up that he's going for Courtney, and you know, barring any strange event happening. So Ben, you know, he gets the approval about Courtney from his mother and Julia, and he's very happy and, you know, happy about that. So he has a date with Lindsay. And this is, you know, traditionally in The Bachelor, they always have their last two one-on-one dates, the last two girls or guys with the Bachelorette. But in this case, it's obviously it's Lindsay, and they have a skiing day. And she's talking about this is a fairy tale in Zermatt. Again, the fairy tale word comes up. And Lindsay tells Ben how much she likes his family. And then he's talking about when he was in Florida with her to see her parents. And he tells her how he could see a future with kids there. And I just felt bad for her at this point on. This is really where the shift happened in the show, where you know that he's not going to propose to her, and yet it was like he was leading her on. And the energy that he had with her was much different than it had been in earlier dates. His decision was definitely made up by now, and you know, and she's opening up to him more and more. Is it too late? I don't think it would have mattered if she opened up to him on the first date. His decision was made then, and I, you know, it was just one of those things that the timing is everything. And here we saw that even though she was trying at the end, it was just too late. He was beyond, you know, coming back to her. He had already picked Courtney. So Ben, you know, he says something like, oh, it's making me feel better that you're opening up to me. Why that matters at this point, I don't know. You know, maybe he just needs something to say. I think that that's part of what goes on in these little vignettes that we see on camera. And, you know, he says, you know, I'm falling in love with Lindsay. He tells the camera in the Alps, but I'm falling in love with her? Well, that's because he's not in love with her. So there's certain words he's choosing, and we've heard this from him with a lot of the different bachelorettes throughout this season. He was very telling in all of his choice of vocabulary. And so Lindsay says, you know, I want to give him the confidence that when he does propose to me, he's making a good decision. What? What does that mean? Men are going to do what they want. So you don't have to be anything different or put anything out, you know, differently that to make him sure he's going to propose. He's either going to propose or he's not. And so I felt like she was making herself in trying to be vulnerable. She was sort of not being authentic. So that was actually a little bit of a surprise, right? Maybe there were a few surprises. So at night they have their last date. He comes to her room. She's got all the candles lit, and it looks very pretty. And you know, and he tells her, "I've had a really good feeling about you since the beginning." And he's trying to smile at her, and he's trying to muster up some energy, but he's not really a poker player. And it's his face is just reflecting that he's not really 100% there. And she's going on and on about, "No one has come along in my life that's worth loving, and I want to make you happy," and he's looking at her, but there's something in his expression, like he can't hide his worry. I'm not sure it was worry, but it was something. And if you watched, you know what I mean. And as you know, he's looking at her as if she's telling him, you know, "Hey, I like your shirt, Ben." Like he's just not on the same level with her in terms of emotion. And he says something like, "Oh, that's good to know." Well, she's not saying like, "Oh, I only drink decaf coffee." The writing is on the wall. So, you know, "Thanks for opening up," he tells her. Well, you know, okay. That's like sort of like, "Hey, thanks for the ride home today." So anyway, there's no surprise. You know, we're seeing this, that he's really telegraphing it at this point, as he has with the other girls when they sort of outlived their usefulness for him. It's you kind of have known throughout the season. So, you know, and we've heard the "it's good to know," you know, "thanks for opening up" line with countless girls. And to name a few was definitely Casey B, Nikki, and Rachel. And there's probably a bunch of others that he's used that with. So we've heard it again and again. And the aside to the camera, you know, he's saying, the way that this woman loves me, I want to tell her that I love her, but I have my last date with Courtney tomorrow, and I don't think that's fair. What? Again, it's like, well, it's no surprise we know from, I think it was episode 8, that he likes a sure thing, and that was the theme for episode 8, sure thing. So, you know, does this mean he's still on the fence, or is he really saying he's hedging his bets in case it goes south with Courtney? He knows that Lindsay loves him, so, you know, it's a sure thing. So she is still putting it all out there. She's just, "I love you, and hugging him and kissing him and everything else." And he's just not reacting. And again, it's a good lesson if you're watching to sort of gauge what's going on in the moment, even though she's trying to be in the moment and he's really not there with her. So he has his personal one-on-one date with Courtney. And they have a daytime date. And, of course, they take the obligatory helicopter ride, which out of all the shows with the helicopters, and if you've heard Chick Flick Chat throughout the season, you know, like, I'm always on the producers about all the helicopter rides. But this one was absolutely spectacular. And if I go to Zermatt, Switzerland, I'm going to take that helicopter ride. It was just really amazing and really just spectacular. So, okay. Courtney says Switzerland is like a fairy tale. So everybody said the fairy tale word at least once at this point. And she says, I trust Ben, which just something I want to bring up. We're not going to go to after the final rose, but that comment, I trust Ben, and she said this completely almost every episode when she had a chance to talk to the camera, that she trusts Ben. Emotion or that the trust she put in him is definitely downgraded or has been broken, that's the word, from the point that they were at this episode, and we learned this in the After the Final Rose episode. You know, we're going to talk about that more next week. So she tells him that, you know, the end, it's sort of bittersweet. Like, she's kind of glad it's over, but not really doesn't want it to be over. And that's understandable. And at this point in the show, you know, we are seeing a very different side of her. And as we've always seen when she's alone with him, and she does seem like a very sweet girl, and she is in love with him, or so it appears. And she is, I think, being herself here. And he tells her that his mom and his sister gave her the stamp of approval, and she feels relieved about that. And then he tells the camera, I've always wanted to feel comfortable around a woman, in reference to Courtney. So we're just hearing the overture of what's coming down the pike for the big proposal. And at the nighttime date, he shows up at her place, and she says, I feel a little vulnerable. Ooh, who wouldn't be? Okay. And she gives him a gift. And the gift is a photo book of all what looked like all of their dates. And, you know, that, how did she get? She's like, oh, I've been preparing this. But really, it's outtakes of all your dates that had to come from the camera crew. So was she really preparing that? Did she put that together? Or did she ask somebody? And that means they had to go back and pull the outtake, you know, pull the photos. And usually on a set, they will have someone taking still photos as well as, you know, things that they can transpose from the camera shots. But who knows where she got those. And they were of the two of them, so she obviously wasn't taking the picture herself. So she gives him a love letter. And the love letter, she's reading it to him, and he is completely impressed, not only with the photo book, he's smiling, which is completely different than he was with Blakely when she gave him her scrapbook at right before he rejected her. And it was a very different Ben that we were seeing. So Courtney, she's reading the letter, and he's listening intently, and at the end, he's smiling, he's kissing her. That's really, really nice, you know. So he's obviously pleased with this, and she's guaranteeing him that he's on the right track, I think, at this point. So he says, you know, I have no concerns, he tells the camera. But then at the very end of this whole vignette, Courtney brings up the stuff about her behavior earlier with the girls, having been repeated or told to the mother and the sister. And it made her feel like he questions her. And I thought that was a very astute thing. And honestly, she had to bring it up to him, because how else would they have known? Unless the producers told them. But he did kind of put her in the hot seat with the mother and the sister, and it was somewhat unfair. So, I'm glad she brought it up to him. And I don't think it was a weird thing to do, or he seemed a little weirded out by it and thrown off by it. But, well, I mean, they talked about her and they asked her about it, so I think she had every right to ask. So She's crying to the camera, though, and she's worrying if she'll be rejected, and she says she really loves him. And I think there was some real moments there and some real emotion. So the next part of the show, we see Ben is in town doing his confessional to the camera. He's walking around. He's thinking. We see video clips of both Courtney and his relationship with Lindsay, and he's wishing his dad was there with him. You know, we know his dad is deceased, and it is a big decision. And even no matter what you've been through, I think in the 6 weeks, you have to say goodbye to somebody that you at least care about if you're not madly in love with. So he's, you know, it's weighing heavily on him. And the other part of the day, this is the final day, we see Lindsay in her pajamas and we see Courtney in her pajamas or her little white nightie. Again, she's in white. This has been a recurring theme throughout the season with her in white clothes at pivotal times. And so Ben, you know, he's telling us that both are incredible women, but he could only help think of one, and he wanted to propose to her. So he has obviously narrowed it down. We all knew who it was going to be, you know, between the gossip magazines and the internet and Facebook and tweeting, everybody, it was pretty much revealed. I think that if it had not been Courtney at the end, and this is no spoiler alert, that would have been the biggest surprise of all, because everybody really was leaning on, you know, all the bets were on Courtney at that point. So he's looking at the rings from Neil Lane, and they all looked gorgeous, and he's very, you know, he says, I'm the happiest I've ever been. And the girls are getting ready, and they both are putting on their evening gowns, and just an aside about the wardrobe, they both show up wearing long floor-length capes, like opera-length capes, I guess you'd call this. It reminded me of the fairy tale thing that's been going on. But then I got to thinking today, this is like The Sound of Music, except that the producers, did they not see the movie? Because that movie took place, I think, probably 99% of the movie was Austria, not Switzerland. They didn't get to Switzerland to the end. So if there was some kind of Sound of Music analogy going on here, they were off by one country. But okay, the fairy tale part was working. And each girl comes, instead of the traditional limo, they both show up in what else? A helicopter. And you don't know who's going to get out, and usually the first girl is the girl that's getting rejected, and it turns out that it is Lindsay. And, you know, Ben is standing on the mountaintop, and he's telling the camera, you know, this is the first time in my life that someone has loved me as much as I love them. Well, how do you really know that? Does anybody ever really know that? That, you know how much you love somebody, but how do you know how much they love you? So, all right. So Chris Harrison, he's waiting in the woods for somehow in this episode he just pops up. He's in the woods under the Matterhorn waiting, and Lindsay gets out of the helicopter, and Ben is looking stressed, and she gets up and she's telling the camera, this is the moment girls dream of, about getting proposed to. So she's totally, at this point, it seemed from her conversation to the producers, that she thought she was the one. And she gets up to the proposal spot and starts rambling about how she feels, and he's like, oh no, which, watching it was hard. That was hard. He felt really bad for her. So he starts, he tells her, I've fallen in love with you, but I need those moments to last a lifetime, and I'm sorry, I love someone else, it didn't come easy, I'm sorry. She's frozen, she's quiet, she handled it extremely well, and, you know, she says, I'm mad at myself for not giving you what you needed. No, Lindsay, that's, you couldn't have. And, you know, she makes the comment again about not enough, and we heard this from KCB, and this not enough philosophy that people walk around with, just not healthy. So she says, good luck, and if things don't work out, call me. And he kind of is like, what? So it was sort of like a little slap in the face that she gave him, and maybe, you know, deservedly so, but does she really want him, you know, that? So anyway, Courtney shows up, and I have listeners. Thank you for listening. Nobody's, I do look, and I didn't look until now, so I'm glad nobody's pressing one. Courtney, he says, you take my breath away, and then he gets down on one knee, and he says, you know, I promised I wouldn't get down on one knee again until it was forever, and you are my forever. And then at the end, we hear him saying, we found a fairy tale. And, you know, that's the thing. So he proposes after all that, everybody's pick, I think, you know, was Courtney, and my pick was Courtney, and it was right. No big surprise on anybody's part, no big surprise on my part. It is what it is, and I hope that they're happy. So we are going to discuss what went on in After the Final Rose, but in the next upcoming Chick Flick Chat, and I hope you'll join me. I want to thank you, listeners, for sharing part of your busy day with me. As I said earlier, I appreciate every listener and reader of the website, and I feel lucky you've joined me. Remember to come by, subscribe to HereWeAreWithLucy.com, or join us on Facebook, and you can find us at Here We Are with Lucy, and that's Lucy with an I. We know you're busy, and you prefer quality quantity, so we don't bug you with constant updates. And, you know, the basis of our mission is to inspire your independence, support your personal growth, and make your busy day a bit better, brighter, and easier. And that is really what we are trying to do every day. So come back next week. And like I said, it'll be after the final rose. I can't wait to discuss it with you. I'm Lucy Wesson, and I look forward to talking with you next time on Chick Flick Chat.